Chapter 7. Cure. The elevator doors chimed open and they stepped into a new level of the pathology department, two stories above Adrian's health intelligence unit. A security guard greeted them at the reception desk, affixed to which was a sign reading Infectious Diseases.
"Man, this place is clean," said Lucy, marveling at the immaculate lobby floor and spotless walls.
"We don't keep it this way because we enjoy cleaning,"
chuckled Harvey, signing himself in on the clipboard and passing it to Lucy. The guard scanned each of their ID cards, then invited them to proceed.
"We've been through this, Alexei. None of this sir business. Call me Harvey," said the director warmly to the receptionist as he led Lucy into the unit.
The facility was bigger than Lucy had expected, comprising only of laboratories and technical stores. The labs were lined up in three rows, separated by two central corridors.
"This is a magical place, Lucy. It's DC's most precious secret. You know what we keep here," said Harvey as he strode eagerly down the corridor.
"Hope," he continued with a rosy smile. "This is where we will save and rebuild our great species."
Lucy tried to peer into the rooms they were passing, but could only catch glimpses. She saw one scientist transferring dark liquid samples into vials, while another peered into petri dishes beneath a microscope. In the next room, two others discussed the results from an electron microscope on the screens before them.
"Are they studying D4 samples?" said Lucy as they passed by.
"The work we do here is secret, Lucy. I must emphasize that. It's important that the public only knows information that helps keep them safe. Facts placed in the wrong hands soon become rumors, and they spread panic, which costs lives. To protect the people, we must preserve their innocence until they're ready for the truth."
Lucy stopped outside a room and stared at the dissection taking place. Three scientists wearing face masks were huddled around a surgical table. She couldn't see the subject, but one of the surgeons deposited what looked like a bloodied tail into a metal bowl.
"Don't worry about what the rest of the lab is doing, Lucy. I want your focus to be on the patient one case. Do you have any attachments?" said Harvey, beckoning her onwards.
"What?" said Lucy, taken aback.
"Husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe?"
"Not anymore."
"Good. I mean, I'm sorry to hear that, but for the line of work we do, trust me, it's better. This job will consume you if you let it."
"I made that mistake. Twice, in fact.
Two marriages down the drain."
"You want to know the worst part of the world ending?" said Harvey.
Lucy flicked through a few choice memories from her catalog of recent trauma.
Loss of control?"
she said, remembering the abject misery of winter on the abandoned farm.
"Alimony. That bountiful money river's dried up for good. My ex-wives were both extremely successful financiers, you see. Terrible people, of course, but their salaries were quite the good news story for a community college professor such as myself. Before the world ended, I had what you might call a sweet gig. If anything, control, vis-a-vis self-determination, is all I've got left. A sense of purpose. It's everything."
He stopped before a sturdy white and chrome door and held his card up to the sensor, which beeped once. A ring of yellow LEDs lit up around the camera, which Harvey stared into, prompting the lights to turn green.
"You'll be conducting the outbreak investigation, tracing anyone patient one's had recent contact with. I'll give you the sheet to work through while I set up. Have you done this sort of thing before, Lucy?"
said Harvey, propping the security door open with a foot. "I did lab work at college and with the army."
"I mean with human subjects." Lucy shook her head. "You might want to brace yourself. It can be unsettling, seeing a sick person in isolation, but you must remember, what we are doing is for the greater good."
"And the patient's good, right?" said Lucy.
"That is always the aim,"
said Harvey, stepping inside the darkened space. The overhead lights flickered on, revealing a large room containing five adjoining glass chambers. Each was around 9 cubic yards in size and contained a stainless steel toilet and a hospital bed. With the exception of the glass facade, all the walls were white. Lucy could see doorways outlined on the back walls of each cell, but there were no door handles. Touching the ground beside the doors were small one-way hatches, about the size of a cat flap, or a meal tray.
All of the cubicles were empty, save for the middle cell. It contained a solitary male figure in a hospital gown who climbed to his feet as they entered. Lopez's eyes widened in astonishment as he saw Lucy beside Harvey. She fixed him with a desperate look, imploring him not to betray their connection.
"Is this my lawyer?" said Lopez, gesturing angrily to Lucy.
"You don't need a lawyer, Major. You need treatment," said Harvey.
"It's my right to refuse treatment."
"Not when you're deemed a danger to the wider public, I'm afraid. You need to be held in quarantine until we know what we're dealing with."
"We have been through this," said Harvey gently.
"Why was he in the dark?" said Lucy.
"Great fucking question,"
chimed Lopez, his voice sounding double-tracked by the cubicle's micro-echo.
"Sleep supports the lymphatic system by boosting white blood cell production. Darkness stimulates serotonin production, which facilitates sleep. We must preserve your energy whenever possible. You're going to need it to fight the infection."
"You have no right to do this," protested Lopez.
"I'm afraid I must apologize for the Major's demeanor. He's in the anger stage of his diagnosis,"
said Harvey to Lucy.
"Can I at least get a phone call?" said Lopez.
"Of course. Who do you want to call?"
"My colonel."
"Oh, she already knows you're here."
"There's someone else who gives a crap,"
said Lopez, slamming the glass and glaring at Lucy.
"I appreciate this is a lot to take in, son, but please, bear in mind, we're on your side."
"That's easy to say when you're the one holding the keys."
"In a moment, Lucy here is going to ask you a few questions, and we'd appreciate your cooperation, Major. Perhaps we can get you some water first, or are you ready to begin?"
said Harvey softly.
"Oh, I'm all kinds of ready,"
said Lopez, clapping his hands with mock enthusiasm. Harvey opened a cabinet on the far side of the room and withdrew a clipboard, which he handed to Lucy. He pulled a pen from his pocket and clicked it on.
"Over to you,"
he said, passing her the pen with a wink. Lucy gripped the clipboard and took a few nervous steps towards the glass pane. Lopez mirrored her, stepping closer on his side, pinning his proud shoulders back and glaring at her.
"Please confirm your name," said Lucy, dropping her eyes and staring at the form.
"Major Eduardo Lopez."
Lucy hesitated, ashamed that she'd never asked before.
"Everything okay?"
said Harvey, noting her discomfort.
"Sorry, sir. Like you said, just adjusting,"
said Lucy, flustered.
"Scientifically, Lucy, there are considerable differences between us humans and the terrestrial animals or D4 creatures you studied before. But the fact that such differences exist does not make them meaningful. Meaning is an invention we overlay simply because we crave it. It is surely our most delightful evolutionary quirk. Each time we encounter meaning, we mistake it for a discovery. In reality, we should be celebrating it for the remarkable act of creation that it is. Then dispense with it. When you look into the isolation chamber holding our dear Major here, you must cease creating meaning and focus purely on what is there. To do otherwise would be like piloting a plane blindfolded. Focus on what's truly in front of you, Lucy. Animal, human, alien, whatever the subject, the course of action is the same. Understand it. Don't invent it," said Harvey.
He gave her an encouraging pat on the back and ambled across the lab floor to the workstation holding his laptop.
"Your boss is an asshole."
Lucy glanced up at Lopez and did a double take, seeing Dan's face peering back at her from behind the visor of his hazmat suit. She blinked the ghost away and bit her lip, trying to stay focused. Lucy swallowed hard and consulted the clipboard, then mustered the courage to look Lopez in the eye once again. "Please describe any symptoms you've experienced in the past 24 hours.
"Sure. I'm in a glass box on a ward with no other patients. I've been told I'm being held indefinitely, and I've been denied access to a lawyer,"
said Lopez, glaring at her. Lucy's eyes closed slowly with regret and resignation before she tried again. Lopez proved belligerent and evasive in response to every question, though to his credit he did a good job of obscuring their previous knowledge of each other when describing his movement prior to D.C.
"Santa Claus over there spotted a new one on my chest earlier,"
said Lopez, gesturing to Harvey with disdain as Lucy asked about the spread of his rash.
"But you didn't feel it coming on? What about the one on your back?"
said Lucy.
Maybe I didn't want to look. They're itchy, okay?
Did you come into physical contact with anyone else during or after your field mission yesterday?
I didn't come into contact with anyone during the mission, said Lopez, looking puzzled.
Our witness says you touched an infected person at the site.
Sure, but I wore a latex glove. Standard military protocol when you touch a stranger who's dissolving from an alien disease.
You're sure?
I didn't go lick the guy's eyeballs, if that's what you're asking.
So you think maybe the glove wasn't an adequate barrier?
I wouldn't know such high and mighty science things like that, ma'am. I'll leave that to the people who see fit to lock up serving soldiers in illegal jails.
Harvey peered up from his workstation and chipped in.
Oh dear, really. This is a medical treatment facility, not any kind of jail, Major. We will, of course, investigate the glove contagion aspect, but I suspect poor removal technique may be the most likely explanation, said Harvey.
Is there anyone else you might have had contact with following the incident? Said Lucy.
Last night, some lady and her kid hugged me, and I arrested a guy this morning, said Lopez.
Lucy pressed him for specific descriptions and locations, which she recorded before proceeding to the last awkward question. Any current sexual partners? Said Lucy, wincing at the intrusion.
No,
said Lopez curtly. The lab door buzzed open and two technicians entered.
Excellent work, Lucy. I think that concludes our questions for now, said Harvey, taking the clipboard and scanning through Lopez's answers.
The technicians began donning protective suits from the far wall of the lab.
Thank you for your answers, Major. I see that cooperation is proving something of a challenge for you, which I must say is disappointing, but I appreciate emotions are complex things. I would, however, suggest that it is in your interests to cooperate with us, so we can help you through the next steps, said Harvey.
The next steps? Said Lopez, cocking his head warily.
Please, lie down on the bed, Major.
Why?
Said Lopez, glaring at him.
We're going to start your treatment. It's best if you're lying down.
Lopez took a seat on the gurney, then reluctantly swung his legs up and reclined, pulling his hospital gown down for a degree of respectability.
On the sides, you'll find some straps. Please apply the lower ones to your feet, then secure one of your hands using the upper straps.
You gotta be fucking kidding me,
said Lopez, examining the restraints bolted to both sides of the gurney.
Time is against us, Major. Please don't delay.
No, I'm not tying myself to a damn bed,
said Lopez, climbing back out and approaching the glass wall furiously.
It is for your own good, Major, insisted Harvey.
Lucy caught Lopez's eye and silently urged him to comply. She wanted desperately to reassure him, to tell him how Ruth had saved her life by tying her down as the disease advanced. She couldn't bring herself to think about the sailor's fate as she watched Lopez return to the bed and strap his legs into position. He glared at her and Harvey, then bound his left hand to the upper rail.
Why, thank you, Major,
said Harvey, once again doffing his imaginary cap. The door at the back of the cell opened and the two lab technicians entered wheeling a trolley. One technician secured Lopez's free hand in place, then circled the bed, tightening the other straps in turn. The second technician wiped Lopez's forehead with a fabric pad, then affixed electrodes to either side of his brow.
Wait, what's this for?
Said Lopez, trying to sit up and jolting against the restraints.
You're doing great, Major, said Harvey.
The first technician inserted a rubber mouth guard between Lopez's teeth. It wedged between his lips like an orange segment, out of which a short blue rubber handle extended like a stalk. The device fixed Lopez's jaw in place and reduced his complaints to grunts of protestation. The second technician plugged the trolley into the wall, bringing the portable monitor to life. She tapped the screen and scrolled through the options until a flatlining graph was displayed. The green horizontal line shifted as she adjusted the two dials on either side of the screen. Next, she removed a small metal clamp from the trolley and placed it in the far corner of the room. On it, she secured a single standalone light bulb. The first technician returned to the trolley and picked up two black objects which looked like handsets from history's first telephones. The technician made his way to Lopez, untangling the cables stretching from the machine and placing them against his temples. Lopez twisted his head as best he could and stared at Lucy in disbelief. His stifled grunts conveyed the frantic cursing he was trying to utter through the rubber gag.
All right, let's begin,
said Harvey, nodding to the technician by the trolley, who depressed a button on the monitor. The machine let out a warning bleep, then the graph spiked and moved up a level.
Lopez's finger twitched and he growled, shaking his head.
This will go so much smoother if you save your strength, Major, said Harvey.
The technician turned the dial up a notch, and the green line moved up once again. Lopez shuddered as his fists clenched automatically, his eyes closing shut as he tried to master the rising pain.
What's the purpose of this?
Sir, he's clearly in distress, said Lucy, appealing to the director.
Call me Harvey, please, he replied with a sincere smile.
Harvey, what is this?
Quite necessary, said Harvey, rocking on his heels.
How? Protested Lucy as the technician ratcheted the dial up another level, causing Lopez to groan while his body strained against the tough fabric shackles.
The Major is infected with some sort of D4 disease. We've had reports from other states that certain D4 creatures have a significantly enhanced electrical tolerance. We know how quickly D4 pathogens bring about physiological changes, so we're investigating whether this disease has changed the upper electrical thresholds of human tolerance, or the patient's ability to conduct it. Of course, I've already started Major Lopez on a course of antivirals, but while we wait to see what impact they might have against the pathogen, we have a duty to learn as much as we can about this new condition, starting with the intelligence we've received from beyond the walls. What we discover in this lab will arm us with the knowledge we need to properly fight the D4 creatures attacking our city. We need a breakthrough, Lucy. Everyone knows it.
The technician turned the dial up again, and Lopez's spine arched. The current shot through his body, drawing a protracted, muffled cry from his lips. He flopped back against the plasticized mattress as the shock ceased. Lopez stared at Lucy, imploringly.
Harvey, this isn't ethical, and you've just admitted it's got nothing to do with curing him.
Take off the blindfold, Lucy. You're creating and reacting to meaning, not reality.
The technician depressed the delivery button, sending a fresh wave of electrical charge across the Major's temples. His eyes rolled back into his skull as his entire body snapped rigid.
Stop it!
Cried Lucy, slamming the glass. The technician continued for several more seconds until the dose was complete. Then Lopez's body fell limp. A recovery timer counted down from 10 seconds on the monitor.
If you keep going, you'll kill him,
begged Lucy as Lopez's head lolled in confusion.
Lucy, the last thing I want is to precipitate the premature demise of such a precious subject. We are merely testing the boundaries to extend our knowledge. I assure you, we're well within survivable limits.
Lopez's body snapped once again as yet more current coursed through him.
How much more do you expect him to take?
Said Lucy, watching in horror as Lopez quivered against the restraints.
We'll stop when we reach that point. Don't you worry, said Harvey.
The machine beeped again as the dose ended. The recovery timer began counting down from 15 seconds.
No more,
begged Lopez, who had managed to spit the mouth guard out. One of the technicians swiftly picked it up and wiped it down with disinfectant.
No more,
cried Lopez again, wildly eyeballing the glass wall as saliva dribbled across his cheek.
We have to stop.
I must say, Lucy, I'm disappointed. You voted for this.
Lopez's eyes widened in disbelief, piercing Lucy with guilt as the technician thrust the mouth guard back in place. With the black antenna against his temples, the next higher voltage gripped the Major's frame.
I voted for a cure, not some sick experiment, protested Lucy as Lopez convulsed once again.
You voted for progress, Lucy. The route is not always an easy one.
The dose stopped and Lopez wilted, this time barely rousing.
Come on now, Major. Stay with us. Try to focus on the light bulb in the corner. You can do it,
said Harvey, tapping the glass.
I'm reporting this to the council.
I certainly hope so. I'm counting on you to write up our findings.
There won't be much to find if he's dead.
That's disputable.
We're not even sure he was the source of the infection. It's speculative. He said he wore a glove. From the footage and the testimonies, it's highly probable that he was the source. but I'm always open to a healthy challenge. What's beyond dispute, however, is that he's infected with something we've not seen before.
But that's pivotal. If he didn't get infected at the scene, then maybe he's not contagious, which would mean holding him like this is neither necessary nor legal.
Like I said, Lucy, I'm always open to healthy challenge. Get the facts and you'll get my attention. I suggest you start tracing the people on the Major's contact list, said Harvey as Lopez's cries echoed through the chamber once again.
Lucy clutched the clipboard to her chest and hurried from the room, unable to look back at Lopez's contorting body. Tears filled her eyes as the lab door sealed his cries behind her. She rushed through the corridor and leapt into a closing elevator with her heart pounding. She had to prove Lopez wasn't the source, and she had to do it before Harvey killed him.